Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 12:59 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is January 21st, and Boeing had a pretty momentous day in here today. They have pushed out their estimate, at least, for when they'll be able to deliver the 737 MAX to the middle of the year. That pretty much means that they're going to miss the holiday season. In terms of demand for new planes. The FAA, however, has said that they don't have a timetable. And the range of issues that Boeing is announcing, last week it was to do with some additional software glitches, and over the course of this morning it was because there's rewiring needs to be done for the planes. But the dribbling of new bad news is something that I think investors are perhaps losing patience with. The most important point is that Boeing is an extraordinarily important company in terms of employment. It also has a Type 3 top formation that's been evolving now for 2 years. Type 3 tops are represented by ranging time and size. So this is a lengthier range than we've seen since at least 2016. It is considerably more volatile, with the peak to trough swing being in the order of 50%, the trough to peak swing being in the order of 50%, particularly with that pop on the upside that we had, which failed in early 2019. The problem for Boeing is that for a company that's selling planes, having them falling out of the sky is obviously not particularly good news, and especially when that is their brand new model. Very serious questions are being asked about whether too many corners had been cut in order to boost profitability. And the war that's been going on between supply and demand over the course of the last couple of years is now testing the resolve of investors. The share broke down from the overhead range in here today. The low from back in December of 2018 was at $300. We saw that the share was able to rally off the intraday low by the close, and the company is holding to its middle of the year forecast for when it might begin deliveries again. But we're at a critical juncture here, because if this is a Type 3 top and $300 is the lower side, then ranges of explosions waiting to happen. And if the share breaks down below 300, I think there are a significant number of stops around that level, and we could see a significant deterioration. The bigger question is, of course, whether the hollowing out of the industrial base upon which the entire company is predicated is going to be resolved. And the bigger question that is out there for the entire market is that the financialization of corporate balance sheets and the reliance on boosting share prices at the expense of focusing on what the nuts and bolts of the business, what the raison d'etre of the entire company is, well, that's a very significant question. Now, the other, I think, important share to keep an eye on is Amazon. And it was in positive territory in here, up about $25. They are looking to move into supplying pharmaceuticals in a range of countries, particularly Canada and the UK. And they had taken over PillPack last year or the year before with a view to getting into pharmaceuticals. That's a very lucrative business. It obviously is also looking to challenge a number of the incumbents. So Amazon is particularly likely to benefit, because they have the ability to run on tight margins. Then when we think about Walgreens Boots, well, that share has been, I think, the primary target of Amazon's efforts to get into pharmaceuticals, and the share remains in a medium-term downtrend and was in additional negative territory in here today. It's right in the region of the trend mean, so if it's going to bounce, this is exactly where we might anticipate that happening. So there are challenges, and if it does go pear-shaped for Boeing, then that has the potential to shave anything up to about 0.4% from GDP growth in the first quarter. So what happens here is meaningful, most particularly when we look at jobless figures, because on a seasonally adjusted basis, they did break out. Well, I guess the important point here is that these are reported reasonably frequently. So we're going to get another iteration, and it will obviously they're reported with a lag, but we should get another iteration in the not in the next couple of days. And the big question will, of course, be: will this figure start to come back down? If it fails to go back down, if we see a clear break on the upside, then that is going to be something that is a warning sign for not just the global or the domestic economy, but for the global economy, because the USA has been at such a growth outperformer, and that growth has been predicated on the health of the consumer, and the consumer needs to be able to continue to find gainful employment if it's going to continue to spend. So these are important considerations. Now, then we have the additional question about the short-term overbought condition that we have on a number of indices. The NASDAQ was in barely negative territory in here today. There is still a wide overextension relative to the trend mean, but no real evidence just yet that we've seen anything other than a short-term pause. But then when we look at what's going on in Hong Kong, well, we do see that there is some pricing in of risk. And the Hang Seng was down in a dynamic manner in here today, almost 2%. And this is a large downside weekly key reversal from the region of the downtrend from the peak in 2018. We've had a lot of choppy action over the course of the last 12 months. It hasn't quite been able to break the downward trend over the last 2 years. If we get downside follow through in here next week, then that will certainly confirm a medium-term supply-dominated environment and the potential that will come back down and test the lower side of the range, which is a lot closer to the 25 to 26,000 point level. There are two important points with regard to Hong Kong. The first is that Moody's has downgraded Hong Kong debt, and that is owing to the social unrest that's persisted in the city for more than 6 months already. But then there's the additional threat from the coronavirus that originated in Wuhan. Chinese Lunar New Year is on January 25th, so the celebrations start Friday night and go onwards for a week. In modern times, many people, they try to get down to visit family early, stick around for the New Year holiday, and then head off overseas on vacation in the second half of the week. Well, that pretty much ensures that we're going to see more cases arise internationally. The first U.S. case was announced in here today from in Washington State. Now, the virulence of this disease is the big question. We have now got examples of health workers having been infected, and that's obviously something that is a risk in here. But we are definitely seeing a different attitude being expressed within China towards trying to tackle the challenges. They're being much more forthright on this occasion, and one of the big issues with SARS was the reluctance of China to deal with it in the early stages, and it took quite some time before they were willing to admit that there was a problem, and that exacerbated the death toll. Well, there's the potential that we're going to see much more global spread on this occasion, because the Chinese population is a lot more globally present now than it was back in 2003. But I think we are definitely seeing a more concerted effort to try and get the word out and to try and trace down what the in fact the particular characteristics of this disease are. The A-share index was down about 1.5%, but it's so far still holding the breakout from the range. Now, when we then think about what's going on in India, the growth there was downgraded, and we had a downside key reversal yesterday and follow through in here today. I think the most important thing is that the market had broken on the upside on the last two occasions when it has pushed on to new high ground. Following the peak in early 2018, it has failed to sustain those moves, and the index has pulled back below the trend mean before finding support. We did see that support was found around the 12,000 level about 3 weeks ago. Now we're seeing the resolve to push on to new high ground tested. The most ideal scenario would be that the 12,000 point level continue to hold. That would clearly break the pattern over the course of the last 2 years where breakouts have failed, and it would confirm that we are back in a demand-dominated environment beyond the short term and into the medium term. There are good reasons for thinking that that might be the case. There have been a significant number of growth-oriented policies implemented by India over the course of the last 3 or 4 months. There's generally a lag between when they're announced and when they in fact have an effect on the domestic economy. So I think it is reasonable to anticipate we are going to see growth picking up in the second half of this year. But of course, there are still the problems with the non-bank lending sector, and those do need to be addressed. The liquidity crisis that is plaguing that sector is something that is inhibiting growth, and if they can tackle it effectively, then that is going to unleash growth potential in India. So we're at a rather important juncture here for the markets, and it is certainly for the bulls to prove that this breakout can in fact hold. Now, when we then turn our attention to Australia, the stock market there was in negative territory, but so far this breakout to new all-time highs has held. Then the Australian dollar, which has been selling off for years now, has so far now failed to sustain this break above the trend mean, and now it pushed down to a new reaction low in here today. This is obviously a repudiation of the break in the 2 year downtrend. If we are in fact at a meaningful low for the Australian dollar, it is going to have to bounce. What we are potentially seeing now with the relative strength of the US dollar is that with a number of the issues that are outstanding, whether that is growth in India slowing down, or the coronavirus in China, or the potential for further weakness in Hong Kong, and the issues with Boeing, that people may in fact now start to be looking at the dollar as something of a safe haven. The dollar index was off its lows in here today. It has not quite yet been able to sustain a move back above the trend mean, but there is the potential that that is what it is going to do, particularly when we think about what's going on in terms of government bonds. The upside Q reversal posted in the first week of January has not been completely countermanded yet, but the yield has not been able to push back above the trend mean. And we are at a rather interesting area here where the relative stability of the bond markets compared to the continued strength in equity markets is suggesting that investors are looking past just about anything that's worth worrying about and thinking about the size of the Fed's balance sheet and the fact that as long as they continue to increase it, that represents a tailwind to asset prices. And investors have been conditioned to conclude that whenever the Federal Reserve increases the size of its balance sheet, it is positive for asset prices. I think that that is probably the correct way of thinking about markets. I was reminded over the weekend of a saying that David used to repeat at the chart seminar, and it is that bull markets don't die of old age. They're assassinated by central banks. Well, we're just not getting that at the moment. The central bank is doing, in fact, everything it can to sustain the economic expansion. And therefore, this really very impressive breakout that we've seen on Wall Street, despite all of the other factors that people are worried about being relevant, it remains incredibly steady. And every other time we've seen these lengthy ranges being completed, we've seen that the breakouts have been persistent. And the pace of this advance is perhaps faster than we've seen on other occasions, but so far it remains persistent. And as long as that remains the case, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Then when we look at the gold price, it continues to hold this $1,500 area, $1,550 area, I should say. It was off its lows in here today. The fact that gold remains steady suggests that people are worried about a number of the factors already discussed, and they are looking for some form of hedge. Because the efforts underway by central banks to avoid an economic contraction amount to basically debasing the currency. And the only way to protect purchasing power against that onslaught is to load up on hard assets, and gold, of course, is by far the most significant of those. Palladium prices were not able to hold the initial strength put in early hours trading this morning, but they were in positive territory. We do have a short-term overbought condition, a reaction of more than $100 would be the first characteristic to question the consistency of the advance. A break back below 2,000 would be a very clear inconsistency because it would be both a larger pullback and then pulling back into the underlying range, and it hasn't done that in a while. So the nice thing about accelerating trends is that they become rather easy to analyze, but we certainly are seeing some evidence now that the very swift pace of the advance may be due for at least some consolidation. The other interesting share in here right now is Tesla, and it was up another $36 in here today. There is absolutely no denying that this is a clearly accelerating trend, and what I find interesting is the scramble on Wall Street now to increase the target prices, where only quite recently people were reluctant to think that Tesla would even survive. We're now seeing an increasingly large number of investors raising their targets up into the $500 and $600 areas. The price is currently at $547, so even then they are still not quite as bullish as investors. Tesla is a company that benefits enormously from access to cheap liquidity. So it is just one of a number of companies that has been able to expand incredibly rapidly and gain market share in an environment where more conservative companies have not been out there borrowing to the same extent. There is nobody accusing Tesla of not going out and borrowing a pile of money. And that is equally true of Netflix. the problem right now for Netflix is something that is perhaps out in the future for Tesla, because they do have competition. And the competition that Netflix is dealing with is from major studios and producers of content that have got years of experience in providing content. Tesla is competing in a new environment where the other automotive companies are reluctant to take the big bets necessary to gain market share because they don't believe that they can be profitable doing it, and they have got a fiduciary duty to their employees. Tesla doesn't quite have the same due diligence considerations because it is an upstart. That's, I think, one of the clear differing characteristics. One thing we do know, though, is that when an accelerating trend eventually rolls over, we can move into lengthy periods of consolidation. We've seen ample evidence of that from Tesla in the past, and the chances are we're going to see it again in the future. If Netflix is in fact going to continue to hold its market share in the streaming sector, well, it's going to have to sustain a move above $400. So I think we are at rather interesting periods in a number of assets, but as long as these breakouts continue to hold on Wall Street, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Then the European markets are holding their breakouts, and while in mildly negative territory today, it's still holding it. The Nikkei in Japan is right at the upper side of a 2-year range and has been consolidating nicely in the region of that upper side of the range. So there is the potential here that we are going to see additional upside for a number of global indices, despite the issues that everyone is worried about right now, because central banks are going to be even more willing to supply liquidity against an uncertain environment. Of course, if we get downward dynamics on Wall Street, then that is likely to mark a peak of at least near-term significance, but we haven't seen them just yet. I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.